So that if the sheep happen to fall, because in that area, they take sheep and they graze, but they also climb up on mountains and stuff like that, and the sheep might get lost. He drop in a crack. And sometimes we get caught in a crack. We get caught in a rut too, right? And what the shepherd does, he takes it and he takes the hook and put it down and he picks up the sheep out of the crack. The thing that he could not escape himself, the shepherd brings him out. Lord have mercy now. We need to understand that some things you can't get yourself out of, but the Lord will deliver. The Hebrew word for deliver is a word that means that he snatches out by reflex. In other words, whenever I fall, it's God's reflex to snatch me, to catch me when I fall. I wish I had somebody. And so Jesus, he catches us and pulls us out of the mess that we get ourselves into. And so what he does, he pulls the sheep out. When he gets the sheep out, this is what he does. He breaks the leg of the sheep. He sets the leg back. He puts oil on the leg, and he mends it up and wraps it up, and then he don't expect the sheep to walk on his own. He picks the sheep up, lays him on his shoulder, let his head fall close to his heart so he can hear the heartbeat of the shepherd. And while the sheep can't walk, he feeds the sheep out of his own hand. He waters them out of his own hand. And pretty soon, the sheep forgets the fact that the shepherd was the one that broke his leg. Oh, come on and say amen. But when the sheep is put back down because of the kindness of the shepherd, he follows the shepherd wherever he goes. That's why David said, he leadeth me beside the still waters. I wish I had somebody. He leadeth me in a green pasture. Somebody say amen. Man here. And so what the sheep realizes is that once the shepherd puts me down and I can walk again, I'm going to follow him. Why? Because when I couldn't walk for myself, he carried me. When I couldn't feed myself, he fed me. When I couldn't water myself, he watered me. And so I'll follow him anywhere. Where he leads me, I will follow. Do I have anybody? Have you ever had your leg broken by the shepherd and the shepherd carried you when you couldn't walk? He lifted you out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and placed your feet on a rock to stay. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I'm the sheep that had to get his leg broke? I don't know about you, but I'm not going to lie and tell you that I've been everything I should have been, but I'm going to tell you the truth. There were some times I had to get my leg broke. I might have had all four of them broke. Oh, come on and say amen. But he carried me every time. He washed me every time. He cleaned me every time. He fed me every time. He lifted me every. I wish I had somebody in the house that said, I'm the same kind of sheep. I've been led because I've been in a place that he brought me out of. I'm following him because of all that I've been through. He was right there with me. He's a friend that's sticking closer than any brother. Do I have a witness? Oh, I'm getting close to the close, yeah. Oh, glory be to his name. Look at what he says in verse 4, and I'm about to get ready to go. He said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We got to learn how to come before God with thanksgiving. We need to learn how to come before God being thankful. And the problem is, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. There must have been a problem. There must have been people coming in with complaints. It's too early. It's too early to be going to church. I don't feel my knee hurt. I got a headache. You know, complain. Coming into the gate, complaining. Let me tell you something about the gate. If you look at how it was set up, the tabernacle was set up in the wilderness, and you find that God positioned everybody according to tribe. And each tribe was on either side, and whatever side of the tent that went around the tabernacle, each tribe was in the place. But in the front of the temple, in front of the gate, that was called the tribe Yada, Judah. This tribe was Judah, which means.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 3, and I just want to lift out verse 25. St. Mark, chapter 3, verse 25, recorded are these words. And if a house be divided against itself, that house shall not stand. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot, but the word says, shall not stand. My brothers and sisters, I want to speak for just a little while from the subject, let's stay together. Let's stay together. I know many of you who have some remembrance of that song long time ago Al Green made that said, let's stay together. And you know, he made clear that love had the power to keep them together. And we are grateful to know, my brothers and sisters, that even greater than Eros love, the love between a man and a woman, is the agape love. Amen. The God kind of love that constrains us and holds us even when we want to act up and leave from the loving, nurturing relationship of our Heavenly Father. It's interesting because this word today, my brothers and sisters, is for the believer to understand in his or her situation, circumstances, plight, problems, or places, that they, when they have found what God wants them to do, where God wants them to do it, and how God wants them to do it, that they must remain focused till the end. Amen. Jesus has come to make clear he is the Messiah. He is Lord. He is God's only begotten Son. He is the restorer of Israel. He is the prayer that they've been praying for. He is the one they have been looking for. And yet, because he did not come in the way they wanted him to, many of them could not receive him. And you'll be surprised at how many of the church officials did not accept him as Lord, nor as Messiah. Mark tells the story in the beginning that as he entered back into the synagogue on the Sabbath, there was a man with a withered hand. And when Jesus came in, eyes were locked on him because they knew every time he showed up, something miraculous and unusual would happen. And they wanted to know on this Sabbath, would he do anything miraculous in the way of healing, because that went against the law to heal on the Sabbath day. And Jesus sees the man and he sees the skeptics, the spectators, the haters. And he asks the question, is it wrong to do good on the Sabbath? Paraphrasing. Is it lawful for me to do the right thing on the Sabbath, or should I wait till another day to do good? And this is what the Bible says, that all of them kept their mouths closed because they knew the answer in their hearts went against the answer in the law. And they didn't want to incriminate themselves, because the second verse said they wanted to find a reason to accuse him. And I'm here to tell you, folk will set you up to find a reason to accuse you, especially when they know you about doing the right thing. And so when he asks the question, the Bible said, because of the hardness of their hearts, Jesus say, you looking for something? I'm gonna show you something. He tells the man to stretch forth that withered hand. And he stretches forth that withered hand, and that withered hand became just like the other hand. It was whole. And Jesus wanted them to know, just whatever he felt like doing on the holy day, he could do it because he was the holy man, including healing. And the Bible goes on and it tells you many things, and you need to read this whole chapter. It's not but 30 verses. But let me hurry on. Verse 6 says they started seeking a way to destroy him. But they couldn't just destroy him, because number one, they didn't have the power. But the best way they wanted to destroy him was by, one, discrediting him. Discrediting him. If they could make it clear that no holy man of God would break the law or do something unlawful, which is one of the reasons why they always tried to bring him back to the law, because the scribes or the lawyers of the word, who were able again to articulate the word and apply the word to the proper situation to make sure that all things were done decently and order, had issues trapping him with the word. That's only because they didn't read John chapter 1 and find out in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word, they didn't know he was the word. And so how are you going to trap the word with the word when he is the word? And then he would use the same word to mess them up. You remember when the woman was caught in adultery, she was brought before the church, and she said, and they said, listen, this woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. Moses in the law says that one such should be stoned. But what do you say? Jesus said, listen, first of all, y'all telling the half truth. Because if she was caught in adultery, she's only one half of the equation. Where is the man? So they didn't bring the man, so they didn't really want truth or justice. They wanted to trap him. And of course, you know the story, what Jesus did. And he threw the same word, wrote on the ground and began to make all of them feel convicted about their own shortcomings. And from the eldest to the youngest, they walked out and left her alone. I'm so glad Jesus knows how to make folk leave you alone. Well, now the scribes come from Jerusalem, and when they say come down from Jerusalem, it is because geographically Jerusalem is the highest geographical point in that land. So every place was down from Jerusalem. And he came down to Galilee. These scribes came down to try and trick Jesus, to judge his ministry, to see whether or not he was worthy of that he claimed. And so when they heard of the things he had done and saw some of the things, they said, no wonder he can cast out demons, because he is a prince of demons. He's Beelzebub. Now listen at this. It's amazing how when folk don't understand supernatural things, and because they can't receive supernatural things, they will try to turn it into the dark side of realities. They were trying to say he was doing black magic, that he was doing hoodoo and voodoo, that he was doing all of these dark arts. But what Jesus came back and said to them, he said, if I'm Satan, how can I cast out Satan? I would be messing up my own kingdom if I cast my own self out. He was trying to help them understand how what they said did not make sense. And then he starts, because there are three things in this verse I want to bring out. The first thing I want to deal with is the place that he's dealing with. Because in these scriptures from the 22nd on to the 30th, there are three things that he uses as places. First of all, he says, if a kingdom, that's one place, that's divided against itself, it shall not stand. Then the second place is a house. And then the third one, he says, is a person. So there are three places in which one finds himself at a crossroads if there is not an agreement underneath the skin within himself or within his structure. Amen. And so Jesus deals with the place because he says, if a house be divided against itself, that house, not another, but that house shall not stand. So let's go back again and just deal with the place for just a moment, because the reason I'm trying to make this clear to you as one of my points in this verse is the fact that there are different places you'll find yourself that this principle still applies. It can be on your job. It can be in your relationship. It can be in your family. It can be in your friendships. It can be at school. It can be many places that you are associated or connected with. And understand the principle. If whatever place you're in is not on one accord and does not have a spirit of unity, then note that the word says it shall not stand. It may not fall today, and it may not fall tomorrow, but sooner or later it's going to come down if those forces of stress and tension keep pushing and pulling against each other. Sooner or later, one will give in. And because it gives in, it's going to bring destruction to that place. Listen, my brothers and sisters, a relationship is only as good as the people in a relationship. And so one of the things you've got to recognize is it does not limit itself to just one place or so, but the point and the reference here is to anything that has to do with other entities being on one accord. All right, so the place. But let's look at in this verse 25, not only does he lift out the place, but he lifts out the problem. Divided.
Yes.
Most of us read, you know, a house divided cannot stand. And the truth of the matter is, a divided is not a bad thing. Because the Bible is divided into the Old and the New Testament. When God made the first 24-hour day, he divided 12 hours of that day and placed the sun over that, and then designed and divided the other 12 hours and put a moon over that, and he called it one day, but he divided it in two. Amen. When he made the human race, he made two genders.
That's right.
One male, one female.
Amen.
When you keep on walking through division, you're going to recognize division is all right as long as it has its purpose and its plan. Long as they understand that there must be direction in division. In other words, that you've got to realize that each one has to have the deciding factor of what their role is going to be, so that they will do what they're supposed to do and the other does what it's supposed to do. Everything is not the same thing. So there's nothing wrong with division. I could keep walking on through example after example of things that are divided. It's nothing wrong with division. The problem comes in when it's divided against itself. Are y'all listening to me today? When a house, a kingdom, a person is divided against itself, it means it no longer agrees. If you're going to stay together, there are three things that must happen. First thing is, you got to come together. Got to come together. And whenever God joins anything together, listen, the sun and the moon were joined together in one day, and he put them on a non-collision course. They never bumped into each other. Because God fixed it where they knew their roles and did their roles. Many folk miss it, one, because they don't know their roles, or two, they don't do their roles. Or three, they want to do somebody else's role. Listen. Of all the different parts God made for the body, he only put one head. And something is abnormal and freakish about two heads. Listen. So I need you to understand, agreement must be a part. Somebody say agreement. The problem with dividing against itself means that there is no agreement. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Not how can two walk together if they agree. Of course they can walk together if they agree. But the problem with agree is it's in the present tense. But agreed is the past tense. But here is also the reality of it. When it's agreed not at the end but at the beginning. And they make up their mind and they fix their hearts. And they say, we're in this together no matter what the weather. We're going all the way through from the beginning till the end. Bible says two are better than
one.
Nothing wrong with division, as long as it's not divided against itself. And then when the two produce another, a threefold cord is not easily broken. Listen, so when you begin to recognize there's nothing wrong with division. As long as that division does not fight against itself. We're one ministry in two locations. We're not two ministries. We're one church ministering in two locations. You got one pastor preaching in two locations. You got one deacon ministry ministering in. You got one choir of each level ministering at. But yet we got members who show up at only one. I ain't trying to mess with nobody. I'm trying to preach the word. Trying to help us out here. We're not greater King David. One church here and one other church there. We're greater King David. We are Team GKD. That's it, GKD. What one of the churches you go to? Ain't but one church. You mean what location I'm in? And I don't care whatever it is, you've got to learn that you've got to come together. Once you come together, you've got to commit to work together. Commit to work together. Commit to work together. And then thirdly, you've got to celebrate the win together. The win together. See what, listen, LeBron James played out of his soul, but he couldn't have won that game by himself. It was the rest of his team members. Now, he may have been the player who played in the spotlight. He might have been the hottest shooter. He might have been all of that, but he couldn't have done any of that if he didn't have the rest of his men giving him the support that he need to bring the trophy home. Am I talking to anybody in the house? I need you. You need me. We need each other. And if we don't recognize that, we then divide ourselves. Don't nobody else tear up your house. You tear your own house up. It ain't the woman outdoors. It's the woman indoors who got issues. It ain't the man outdoors. It's the man inside not doing what he's supposed to do. Y'all getting mighty funny acting up in here. Because if your stuff is right, I don't care what another man says to you. Baby, my husband said that to me all the time, and it sounds much sweeter coming out of his ear. Girl, you sure look good. That's all you got. Can't no other woman whisper in your ear nothing sweeter than the woman God has given to you? But you get it. My wife don't understand me. No, you don't understand you. You tear up your own house by letting a third voice whisper in your ear. Adam and Eve were all right until Satan whispered in Eve's ear. Are y'all not praying with me today? They didn't have a problem in the garden till she listened to the wrong man. Ain't no woman like the one I got. That's what you ought to be saying. Instead of roaming eyes and roaming minds and roaming hearts, water your own grass and stop getting that artificial turf. It's not real. When they get through taking off this and taking off that, unwrapping this and unwrapping that, pulling off this and pulling. And so, you must agree that you're going to work together no matter what the